This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Grand rising and priming powerful beings. Shout out to you. It's the Holistic Motivator. And today I'm going to be talking about allowing God to use you. We often don't worry about when it comes to other people using us because we want their love. But the one God that gives us love without anything, expecting anything in return but our lives and our dedication and our honesty and integrity towards Him, we don't let Him use us. But everybody got a piece of our lives, of our soul, of our mind. And we let them not only use us, but abuse us, but we have issues surrendering to the will of God. This episode is about making it make sense and allowing God to use you rather than man. You ready? Let's get it. Shout out, everybody. Ed Talks Daily is all about growth in all aspects of your life. How do you solidify a holistic mindset that will lead to healthy body, healthy relationships, and in-tune spirit? Join me on this journey to becoming the best version of ourselves. Go to edtalksdaily.com if you want to listen to this podcast on the go. And if you're listening already, make sure you leave a review before you head out on your favorite podcast app. If you're on YouTube, make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube channel, all that good stuff. Let's get into the episode, man. You know, we often are struggling because we're being used by men, by your job, you being used by all types of institution, organizations, by your system, but you ain't being used by God. And this don't apply to everybody, even the people God is using. Sometimes God ain't using all of you, just a piece of you. I can relate to that. All right, there was a time in my life where God was using me because He put a seed in me, but I didn't know He was using me, so I thought I was doing it on myself. But He still had His hand. Listen, when you're chosen, God has His hand in you, and He has His words in you, so that His words will come out, and you won't see His hand because it's hidden. All right, y'all didn't really catch that. By the way, I want y'all to stick through it. A lot of people don't stick long enough to get the message. So I'm going to just say that. I kind of have to say it. A lot of people don't stick long enough to get the message. They want a microwave thing to just, boom, hit them. It's not going to be microwave. It's going to be a build-up. So if you're listening to this podcast, let's build up together. You ready? Okay. Let's keep on building. Comment I'm ready in the chat and share this video to 5 friends. Comment done. You know what? Let's not even worry about all the people who are leaving. I'm about to let God use me right now. All right. Let's go right into it. Hello, everybody who's here. Letting God use you is a process of surrendering. But guess what? We don't surrender enough to God's will because guess what? We don't really understand God's purpose. We only focus about our own desires. Like, I'm just going to give it straight up to you. And sometimes people don't want to hear what they need to hear that's going to change their life and the way they need to hear it. Right, because you actually trying to change your life when God should be the one changing it, because He actually knew the plans He had for you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I think we take scriptures for granted because we actually still don't believe them even though we hear them. So number one thing that we want to do is God has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you, and he declared it, that he was going to prosper you and not harm you, and plans to give you a hope and a future. And the thing right now is the only plans you focused on is the plans they got for you, is the plans you made. And your plans are so stuck that you stuck, because you don't see past your plan. But God already sees what's ahead. So, like, even though you're trying to go with your plan, it's not working because it's not God's plan. And you're like, I thought I had free will. You had free will, but you also had a purpose. People want to have purpose, but they want to do exactly what they want to do. People, like, God gave you a specific gift, but you don't understand how that's going to make you happy, because you really think that what you think you want is better than what God has planned for you. That's the issue. You actually have a rebellious attitude towards God. But then you have a meek and sheep attitude towards men. That makes sense. I want you to just hear what I'm saying. Somebody said,
oh man, I don't like how you're talking to me. Talk to me nicely.
No, I'm not going to talk to you nicely. Because guess what? You let people run over you, but God, who's trying to prosper you, you don't entertain them. It's like you got a bad boy complex. And you forget that you serve a great God. All right, you're not hearing me. Oh, you hearing me? Oh, you hearing me? So somebody got a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. You go to the person who has a plan to destroy you and harm you. And then they say you ain't got no hope nor a future. They talking trash. But the person, but not the person, my bad. But God, who speaks life into you, you ain't going to him. When you got a problem, you hit up your negative, toxic friend, but you don't hit up your friend called Jesus, Yeshua. He said, for you are no longer called servants, but friend. He literally, like, you got to see how much, like, here's the thing. We take for granted what God has done. We take it for granted. Like, when we think about, like, Jesus died on the cross, we're like, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. We're talking about God in the flesh dying for you specifically. Like, that doesn't even make sense, but it makes sense to him. So that's how much love somebody like God got for you, that he did all of that, and then he made a plan for you, and then he prepared you in your mother womb, and he knew you was in there, that he put gifts in you, and then he gave you promises so you could make sure you get these, and then you denying God in front of man. In fact, you forsook him for people to like you, because you're like, I don't want to be the salt of the earth, because I'll be salty about how they feel about me, because, you know, they think I'm different. Like, how is it going for them? Okay, so God has a unique purpose for you. And the thing is, you're not entertaining that purpose. That's why you're struggling. But you're still going to struggle even though when you go in line with your purpose, but it's going to be struggle too towards something. I'd rather have a struggle to know that I have a prize at the end of my struggle than struggle and still get no prize. And instead of having a mindset is I'm the prize. You're so focused on relationships and being the prize, you're not even focused on heavenly things. You're like, you're just an earthlings. I'm the prize. Oh, yeah, I'm so fine. I'm the prize. Like, it's so carnal and meaningless, like Solomon said. Like, some of you, God has blessed you with beauty, and you turn your beauty to a curse because you think that's all you are. Like, you look at your face and you fine. Like, you fine. Or some of you look good. Guys too, like some of the fellas, you look good. You 6 foot tall, you got the muscles, you got the job, you got the money, not just about the ladies, you look good. All right, I don't have to say no homo, because a brother can say you look good. All right, no pressure. Guys and girls, you could be whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. It's not a gender thing, right? But you make that everything. You're like, yo, when you go to the gym, you're like, yeah, I look good. But you don't realize that inside of you, it looks even better. Like, there's something deeper than your looks. Like, yeah, you look good on the outside, but on the inside, he puts something in you that's even deeper than that. And that's a purpose. Here's the thing. What goes now is you got to surrender it. That's the problem. I'm the prize mentality means that you can't, like, you can't be humble enough to serve God, but you don't realize that you're controlled by your mindset, and you actually still surrendering to a human mindset when you could be surrendering to a God's will. Like, literally, you watched a few podcasts and created this whole paradigm of what life is, and you ain't never stepping to the truth. Like, there are people right now who are like parrots. Like, parrots, like, yo, I'm just gonna give it to you straight up. Like, I'm not about to, like, make you like me, because I don't care, like, if you like me. But I wanna give you the message. Because you just listen to podcasts and you adopt philosophies and you ain't never listened to God's word to step into the truth. So you ain't really set free. You just now enslaved by your new mentality. There's a lot of people enslaved by mentalities. They ain't never been freed by truth because they don't trust in the Lord. They trust in what they said on that podcast. Oh, man, this person, and you don't even realize it, that now you are becoming the housewife of Atlanta. Like, you becoming the housewife of Atlanta. You don't have no idea. Like, you literally becoming what you've been looking at and seeing. As, like faith comes by hearing and hearing. You can have faith in God or you can have faith in man. Like, you're literally becoming Cardi B in the flesh. And you eye spicing it up. Like, and your heart is becoming iced. You ain't got no spice, baby. You need some spice, the Holy Ghost. It's becoming icy. It's cold. There's a lot of women like that, like that. Somebody said, why you keep talking about women? Well, 70% of the people who watch this is a women, so we got to talk to y'all. All right? So you ice spicing it up, all right? And for the guys, like, sometimes we just trying to be tough in the wrong way and you ain't even healing. Let's just keep it straight up. Like, you trying to be tough when tough is about serving God. Like, the toughest people I done found out about is the most obedient people who listen to what God said. I mean, like, those are people. I mean, think about the type of people who walk around with angels. Like, you got guns, I got heavenly support. I got angels. You got guns, but I got angels. That's what happens when you're obedient to God's will. Like, harm don't come. Okay. Yeah, y'all think I'm talking about, like, ego. I'm just talking about promise. This is kingdom talk. This is when you're an ambassador of the kingdom of God, you walk around with a different type of swagger and protection, because it's not really the heat you got, but it's like, it's, you got the heart of God, so you protect it. So you listening to these things and building this lifestyle to look a certain way, that's vanity. Solomon said it, vanity. So one of the major things you want to do that's going to make you stronger is surrender to God's will. Like, I don't need to be popular. I need to be impactful. That's what I realized. I was like, bro, if you want everybody to like you, they ain't really ever going to really get the truth from you. So you got to tell them straight up. So guys don't know how to submit. Women don't know how to submit. All right. Part two. A lot of times we be so focused on what we want to do that we don't know how to submit. But if you don't submit to the ways of heavenly things, you're going to submit to the ways of earthly things, thinking you're in control. And that's the worst form of submission, because you trust in the world and not in the Lord. Because you lean unto thy own understanding and you don't submit your ways to him. So you still submit, and you just submit into the Babylon. A lot of people are underneath Babylon's submission, but they think they're in control. Like, you actually underneath capitalism's submission. Like, they actually feed off of your dysfunction, of your so-called choices that you make by yourself. It's a way to make more money out of you. Like, your sin pays more than your righteousness. Like, literally making you a slave to money and loving money so much that you're willing to kill people helps the whole system goes on. So if you don't submit to God's will, you're submitting to human will anyways. So you ain't really never in control. It's a pseudo control. That's why people be going out of control, because they never in control. If you don't submit to God's will, you automatically submitting to the kingdom of darkness, Therefore, if you think you're in control, you're not. You actually enslaved to the devil, thinking you're in control. It's another enslavement. And it said, as a way for us to understand what it means to truly be free in Christ, it says, therefore be slaves unto Christ. But I want you to remember, he actually called you to be a king and a priest and a royal priesthood. But he used the term be a slave to Christ to say submit your will to him, because that's just a way to understand it. And if you really go back to the Hebrew word of slave, it probably was much different. So we don't understand that statement, but we have to remember that there's so many different ways the word puts stuff. So he calls you a priesthood, a chosen generation. But in the Bible and church, they'll only be saying you're a servant, you're a servant. But how about an ambassador, a royal priesthood, friend, a son? Like, all of this is part of it. So he's like, how can all of these simultaneously exist? Like, just like I'm a king in the kingdom of God and yet an ambassador, I'm like a servant. Every day, my job is to serve people. Like, I'm legit like a servant. Like, it says the greatest among you will be a servant. And yet, I'm still a slave to Christ because I have to surrender my will to him and do what he tell me to do when he tell me to do it, how he tell me to do it. And if I don't, it doesn't always work out for me. And then I also have to be a heir in his kingdom. And then yet I got to be a priest at the same time because I got to spread his word, because I'm part of a chosen generation. So it's like when you're part of God, you get to, it's like so many different roles in once. Okay, so that's how God is able to use you to ultimate great power. And he'll make you stand before great men, kings, and not mean men. Like, you're trying to stand before kings, but you're not standing in the presence of God or kneeling down in the presence of God. Right? So the first step is to stand and then kneel. So next one, you got to face the challenges as you go through this situation, as you surrender your will. Like, the enemy gonna try to do what? Sift you. But let me tell you, God got you there. He's even, like, Jesus said to Peter, like, I'm praying that your faith does not fail. Like, he's also sending his angels to make sure that even though the enemy is sifting you, and he got so much faith, he like, my servant Job, he got that. I ain't even worried about him. And he going to put you in his place because he's going to correct you when you try questioning him. He's going to be talking, when he's like, God, I don't understand how all this happening. I thought you had a plan for me. The plan ain't working. He's like, were you here when I was creating the plan? You're like, no, I wasn't here. How about when I laid the foundation? Were you there? No, I wasn't there either. Did you know how complicated this stuff is? No, I have no clue. Then shut up. I really do like God. I think he's really good. He's be like, shut up and just be a vessel. Like you just asking me all, why are you asking me all of these questions? Assuming. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was 2012. So guess what you got to do? You got to learn how to be a vessel. Okay. So right now, one of my things is I'm a vessel for what God has me do. Right, I'm going to do what he tell me to do when he tell me to do it. And I know he got everything. Now, I know that it's not going to be like linear and easy. Like I'd be like, when things are going good, I'm like, you know what? I'm enjoying this. Things are going to go good. He's going to see me through it. But I know I'm preparing for something because I know something going to happen eventually. It's not like I'm preparing for bad things, but it's just like you gotta be ready, fortify yourself as being a vessel to know that challenges gonna come. Your faith gonna be tested. And he ain't always gonna see things through as fast as you think. Like, it's gonna be a process. Like, people really do think like God supposed to just elevate you, you're supposed to go through. And how you gonna handle that when you really get there? Like, how you ain't gonna be in a palace if you can't handle being in a slave? Like, It's a journey. It's a process. It's like, I'll test your faith there, then I'll test your faith again, then I'll have you wait. Like, God is so good that he has a plan for you that doesn't look like the plan he had for you in the beginning of it. Somebody say amen to that. Like, literally, Sarai supposed to, like, be the mother of many nations. Okay, because Abraham is the father of many nations. Abraham can't father without Sarai. And he actually had another wife, which was Sarah. Sarai had to be Sarai before Sarah, and it didn't make no sense. Like, it don't be making sense. But it's like he flip it so his name could be glorified. Like, God is so good, but Joseph had to be sold and enslaved and then to become a king. Like, what? Like, do you not see it? And then you and your story, you're like, man, why I gotta go through that? I mean, Joseph went through it. Abraham went through it. Moses was... Okay. This is a word for somebody. You want to be just like somebody in the Bible, but you don't want to grow through what they grew through to be them. You just want the glory without the cross. Like, you love the stories, but you don't see the theme in the stories. So you look at your setback, you don't see the setup. You got to literally, that's why I have this gift of seeing in people what they don't see, and I can speak to them from where they're growing and not where they're at, because I'd be like, don't you see it? You can't see it. Like, don't you see that how God's glory is going to manifest? Like, how is it aligning? No, you can't see it because you're looking at the circumstance. But faith says the substance of things not seen, the evidence, okay, I'm messing it up. The evidence of things not seen is the substance of something of that nature. Like, you got evidence before you see it. Like, that's the vision. God can see stuff you can't see. All right. So James 1, verse 2 to 4 says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, wherever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking nothing. There is literally a training ground for strength. Perseverance. Like it says, to those who serve the few will serve the many, but you can't quit while serving the few. Like your business not looking like it's supposed to be looking. You can't quit while serving the few. Like your finances ain't working the way it's supposed to be working. You can't quit while it's the few. Like, you got to stay through the few to get the many. And a lot of you had a challenge. You don't see that God's using that strategically to do something. But here's the thing. You so comfortable in your success, you don't realize that your success can be failure in the eyes of God. Because you could be successful in what you think is success, but it's not successful to him because you ain't doing what he put you to do. So though you got some level of success, sometimes he's calling you to move on from that success to a new success, which is fulfillment. So some of you are actually successful, but yet failing because you're not listening and being used by God. There's a lot of failing, successful people. Like, you got what you wanted, but you didn't get, God didn't do what he wanted to do through you. So it ain't really done yet. The work is not, Jesus had to say, he said at the cross, it is finished. When people thought he was finished because he knew his purpose. It is finished. Like, he know what he came to do. And when he did it, it said, it is finished. Other people may have thought, the Pharisees or the whatever, they may have thought, man, I want you, Jesus. I thought you were the Son of God. He's like, yeah, I am. He's like, that's why I can lay up my life and then pick it back up. I did what I came here to do. And to you, it may have looked like, Jesus failed. Not you. Now you know the truth, some of you, but some people don't. They might have said, Jesus failed. In fact, the Jews still probably think that the ones that, say Jesus did not rise from the tomb and they stole his body from the people who are oblivious, who want to be oblivious to the truth. So they, whatever, we're not going to go that deep into it. But he said it is finished. They thought he was finished. Some people are going to look at you and say, he's finished. No, they ain't got that job no more. They ain't doing that. God said, we just getting started. Somebody comment in the chat. God's just getting started when it looked like it done finished. We just getting started. Ooh, got a word for y'all today. I told you, God use it. Letting God use you. He's doing it right now. Look, Matthew 25, verse 21 said, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, this was... When God gives you that gift, you better not go hide and bury it. Some of you, that's what you're doing. You've been doing that for 40 years. This is going to be the year where you start using that gift. Like you let your little success get in the way of God's, you sharing God's happiness. It didn't say, oh, come and share some of my wealth. No, it didn't say, come and share some of my things. All of that was already yours. It was his, it was yours. That was, he already gave it to you already. He kind of had it. Like, but he said, come and share my happiness. Like some of you, you missing the happiness because you're not being faithful over the few things he put you over. You being faithful over the many things you put yourself over because of your own little selfish desires. And God said, if you are faithful over the few things I put you over, I will put you in charge of many things. And you're going to share his happiness. Like you just going to be, fulfillment comes in taking care of the few things God put you over. And it's being used by God, not your corporation. Like some of you've been used by that corporation for too long. God's like, when you going to work for my kingdom? You're like, nah, I'm just supposed to go to church and you know, go to church and go to church. And I'm working in the church. I work in the choir. He's like, you mean in the church? Do you work in the church or do you work as the church? Okay, I didn't really catch that. There's a difference between working in the kingdom and working in a place. Well, you know, I'm in the choir for the ministry and I do this. Because of habit, God is like, are you really in your gifting? And when you are in a choir, do you do it for really my kingdom or for other people's praising of you? Man, I work and I do this and that in the church. I'm the usher there. I'm not saying it's not good to do ministry. God is like, but I'm talking about when you're in the street, are you an ambassador for my kingdom? Like, do you add more value besides Sunday morning? He's like, when you go to work, do you actually work on my business too? Or that idea I put in you, do you actually enhance? Like it's a different king. We're talking about kingdom. And we're talking about a constitution that we live under. And we're not talking about religion. Like some of you be religious, but you ain't really about your father's business. Because you're not kingdom mindset. It ain't really there. You more on a... You more on a, I want to do all of that because I've been doing that all my life, but you ain't really about your father's business. So when somebody hungry, you ain't really feeding them because the love of Christ ain't really, really there because you don't really feed for God. You don't really feel for God's sheep. But you go to your church and you make sure your pastor, you know, that church is taken care of, but you go out of there, you don't realize that your tithes can be paid to the homeless guy too. Like that's a way of tithing. I've been tithing a little bit differently now. Like, so I think of tithes like, how can I add value to God's forgotten heir? And I also use my gifts as tithes. Like I'm tithing right now to some people. Like you might not see this as a tithe, but this is a form of a tithe, you know, because some of the disciples also said like, money I don't have to give you, but let me lay some hands on you real quick, right? So some of you, I ain't got that much money to give, but can you pray for somebody? I ain't got that money to give, but can you hear somebody out? Can you be a little patient while you fasting? Can you really like do something besides like what you want? Like we go to God for requests, but we actually fast so that we can be a conduit so God can answer requests through us. Like we should be request answerers and God will make sure you good. It says, if you fathers on earth know how to give your children good gifts, your Father in heaven gonna give you even better gifts. It said, if you evil people here, he didn't say like that. It said, if you evil people know how to get good gifts on Christmas, I'm gonna make Christmas every day. That's what the word said. I didn't say that. So listen, man. God is ready to use you all of the time, but sometimes you be in your head. Sometimes God's ready to use you to help somebody right next to you, but you be in your ego. Sometimes God's ready to use you for something. Like, you be trying to make it too complicated than simple. Like, I seen God use people this morning while I was in priming. All morning, you don't realize that. That's a blessing. You're like, ah, man, you know, that's just being myself. No, you're not really. You wasn't being yourself. God was using you right there. He just used you. He's like, glory to God. He used me real quick. You know, glory to God. So we're going to go ahead and end it here. But please, let God use you. He's not going to abuse you. Other people be abusing you, but not the Father, not your Father in heaven. Be a conduit. Be a pipe so God could put stuff through you and feed the masses. Use your gifts. Use them and give the glory right back to God. Okay, be a mouthpiece. He put the words in your mouth. He puts gifts in you. He put ideas for businesses that's going to reach people, not just to help them solve an issue, or but it's going to solve other issues that you didn't even see. Like, let him use you. He's not going to abuse you. He's going to take it to a whole nother level. All right? And that is the message today. And I'm grateful that God used me for this message to share with y'all, because I wasn't really going to do a podcast today, but I just kept getting this feeling, you know, this feeling down my soul. You need to do a podcast. I was like, cool, we're going to do a podcast today. All right, so your dysfunction ends when you say, God, be the main function in my life. Right? Like, sometimes you look at you think life is mundane when it's strategically employing you with the gift. Like, literally what I'm doing right now, there were days where I got so sick of it, doing it every day, and I'm still doing it every day. And it's going to be more and more exciting. One of these days, I'm going to be doing this all around, be traveling, doing all this stuff. It'll be really cool. But I'm really enjoying this peaceful waking up, rising prime in my backyard, doing the herbs, learning about the herbs, helping people in different ways, from time to time doing things. It's so simple, but it's peace. Now it's going to be different. It's going to be leveled up. It's going to be different. Like, I'm excited with healing at home. Like, it's just peace, eating. Like, it's just all peace to me. I'm like, yeah, this is good. But the world makes you think that your life ain't really good. It's repetitive. When people's lives that you be seeing that's excited, be repetitively excited in a way and draining at the same time. Like, you be seeing them clubbing, partying, doing all these things. It's repetitive to them. And sometimes it be empty. But you don't see the fullness of your simplicity of life. And God is really trying to allow you to see in that little silence and the simplicity. And there's like, there's beauty in it. Like, there are people who actually want what I have while they have more things than me. But they don't really know they want what I have, because they don't know that what I have is the love of Christ, and I'm just going by that. So by that, I mean, there are people who be like, man, I want to be at peace. I want to be in my purpose. I want to add value to people. They don't realize they already have what I have, that all they got to do is be a little bit obedient. So they look at people who have things, but they don't look at people and follow the blueprint who, like, there's a lot of people right now who probably don't even take what I say seriously, because I'm not a millionaire or something like that. So they undervalue something that's very subtle, and they don't realize that the process is in the process. Like, they don't really see it, because they really want, we want the grandeur, but they don't want to do the serving. And it's like, it's just little subtle things. It's just in the refinement. It's in your mess. That's where your message comes out of. It's in your subtleness. It's in your setbacks that you're setting up. Like, it's just, it's me moving back to the crib that helps me. Like, all this herbs and stuff came back. I came back to where I needed to get the instruction to build vineyards, to build gardens, to start multiple businesses. Like, God will take you exactly where you need to do so he could refine you, so he could launch you on the launch pad to where you need. But while you're there and you're being refined, you're going to run away from it, trying to go in the world like that prodigal son. And like, I want to explore the world. God's like, if you don't sit your butt down and get the instructions so I can put you out on a mission. Like, you just trying to, I want to see the world. Like, I put you right here. You better sit right here and grow and learn. I want to see. Like, I'm about to show you the world, but you about to move through the world differently with purpose, not with emptiness. God don't want you to be enslaved at your crib, never doing nothing with your life. But sometimes there's a season for everything. And he has a season of shedding, of refinement. And he about to launch you. And when you're ready, You going out. You really about to see the world. You're going to see the world with a different viewpoint. You really about to take some trips. You really about to be about your father's business and your business at the same time. You're going to see the world differently. Is he going to get all of it together? But you got to be patient and you got to be refined. You got to be willing to spend time reading the books, attending classes, going through the work, doing the healing. You can't just want the glory without the crucifixion of your flesh. And you don't realize that God's having you walk through a specific path, and it's going to work all in your favor at the end. It said it in the word. It's a promise. And he's literally strategic about it. I ain't even seen the end yet, but I see the glimpse. All right? I see it. That's what the vision is. I've seen he's put down the veil so I can actually see a little bit of it. And eyes I have not seen, ears I have not heard what God's going to do in your life. He's about to bless you beyond measure. You're about to be shocked when you step into your ultimate purpose. And that is my message. And I am sticking to it, baby. Okay, let me take back. That's what God had to tell y'all through me today. And we sticking to it, the Holy Spirit and I. Absolutely, man. Receive it. Receive the message and be patient. This has been another episode of Ed Talks Daily. Remember, you got the unlimited power in you to do what God called you to do because he ordained you to do it. You were picked, chosen, set out on a task by the Most High God. But not only do you have to believe that you do, but you got to believe in him. And until that happened, the people your gift is supposed to be fed is going to be hungry because you ain't step into your purpose. So be the salt and the light of the world and stop hiding yourself underneath the nightstand of your self-limiting beliefs because you're believing what the enemy told you and not what God promised you. So remember, powerful beings, let your light shine. Don't hide it. Don't dim it. Peace.